Welcome to Fanboy News Network, your guide to geek culture. I'm Jeff Harris.
And I'm Daniel Christensen.
So, this episode...
Yes?
This episode is not any kind of milestone.
Okay.
I only say that because next episode, we're going to lay odds on whether or not you are actually here.
It's a round one, isn't it?
It is. It's going to be episode 50.
Oh!
It's going to be the big 5-0.
I can't even say that. You can't even say this one's prime or anything like that.
No, so you no. Can, yeah. So, yeah, I don't know, because that's traditionally I have to go find a co-host.
Well, they're threatening snow, so we made it through. I came through a threatened snowstorm to be here. So.
You did. For those of you who don't live in the Seattle area, a light dusting will shut us down.
Yes. Now, to be fair, it's because most of the city is built on a hill. The rest of the story is because none of the imports know how to drive.
Right. Now, yeah, Seven Hills. In fact, there I used to do work with a production company called Seven Hills Productions.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that's Seattle. Plus, well, to be fair, the problem with Seattle is due to the nature of our weather. If it's going to snow, usually it first comes down, doesn't stick, gets wet, then does stick, and that layer of water becomes black ice.
True.
So, yeah, Seattle always has. We're always joking about the snowpocalypse around here.
And they threatened one on, what was it, Tuesday?
They threatened one on Tuesday, yesterday. We're recording, as we often do, even though the show normally comes out on a Monday, we usually record on a Thursday. And then I theoretically will get around to editing over the weekend. And then, go from there.
And hey, if you're snowed in, you'll be able to get it done in no time.
I don't know. My wife is an expert snow driver, so
yes.
We usually rarely get stuck.
She's an excellent driver.
You just rain manned us. Okay. So anyway, yeah, welcome to this penultimate milestone episode.
No, that would imply that the next one will be the last one.
That's
ever.
True.
It'd be the last one in 2016, which frankly, the door can't hit it in the butt fast enough, but...
We've lost, it's not even, you know, to memorialize everyone we've lost between the last podcast and now could almost take the entire podcast.
Have to give the shout out to John Glenn.
Yeah.
Last of the Mercury 7.
That's true. I mean, he was significant in history.
Indeed. And to be fair, the man was 95.
This is true. I mean.
Because the other things, I mean, there have been so many people that we've lost this year of so many different ages and aspects of our lives. In addition to the fact that, you know, we've also lost my ability to sleep 8 consecutive hours at night.
Sure.
And my faith in the general humanity and little things like that.
So, and yes, there. So also, to be fair, normally we try and do 2 weeks between episodes. We did 3 this time because last week we were all ready to record, except that the entire week I had been suffering from horrible insomnia, which is usually my sister's trick. But it was my turn, and by the time we got around to recording, I... don't think I was capable of stringing coherent thoughts together. So we decided that, no.
Yeah. That's where you just say, you know what? You could stay here at work for another however many hours, but your functional effectivity has ended now.
Yeah. So here we are 3 weeks later. And the reason I bring up the time gap is a lot of movies.
Yep.
We've actually seen a lot of movies. So now
we start with,
well, we've both seen Moana,
which was amazing. Oh my great googly mooglies, it was amazing.
It, you know, right now, with everything I've seen this year, with all the great films we've had this year, at this point in time, I would have to say Moana is a real strong contender for being my favorite movie of the year. I mean, Rogue One will have to really knock it out of the park, because Moana was such a well-crafted film.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yes, of course, not counting Rogue One. Although, to be fair, I mean, this has definitely been Disney's year between Rogue One, Moana, and the Avengers. It's like, what aren't they making money on? But
Doctor Strange put them over, which also I saw since the last time we recorded, and I'll talk about that in a minute. But Doctor Strange put them over the 8 billion mark for the year.
Billion.
Well, hitting the 7 billion earlier in the year actually broke the record. So 8 billion And that was before Moana and Rogue One. So,
yeah.
Yeah, that's one of those, okay, so I guess Disney is getting all the money this year? Sure. Yeah. Why not? They've deserved it.
That's more than some small countries.
It's, yeah, it's a significant amount, but it's, I think the argument is that Disney is making movies people really want to see. More to the point, Disney is making movies people like to see maybe more than once.
True. I'm planning to go see Moana a second time, I know for certain, and I'll see Rogue One a second time.
Yeah.
But yeah, Moana was, I love the fact that, okay, Princess Story, because Disney, sure. Self-rescuing princess. How many times do you see that?
Very much self-rescuing princess.
And no love interest.
It definitely, that was a first. Even Brave, which people argue didn't necessarily have a love story, there was still the suitors.
Yeah.
So there was a touch to romance, even though it wasn't a great one.
Yeah.
And Moana, there wasn't even a hint.
Yeah.
It was not even an allusion to a possible love interest. Well, to be fair, I think they were also stating that the character of Moana herself is the actress who, sadly, I apologize, I'm forgetting her name at the moment.
Too many vowels and an apostrophe in there somewhere.
She was 14 when she recorded the part.
True.
And they were playing Moana as a similar age.
Yeah.
And the relationship with Dwayne Johnson's character, Maui, was presented very much as a sibling-like relationship.
Yes, definitely.
And which worked perfectly for the film.
Oh, yeah. And I love every single moment that Maui / The Rock is on screen. Because, I mean, you were talking over dinner about how he is very nervous about his voice work. Doing voiceover work as opposed to acting. But he brought it. He brought the game remarkably well, and he did it amazingly well.
Well, he has said in interviews that he considers voice acting the most challenging form of acting.
True.
And has a dislike of stunt casting of celebrities in voice roles.
Yeah.
His concern was that he wanted to make sure he was putting in a good performance.
Oh, yeah.
So he worked really hard at it, which, hey, let's hear it for work ethic. There's also the fact that, and I think he was definitely they wanted to have.
Oh, yeah.
The part of Maui was created around Dwayne Johnson.
Around, literally.
Well, and one of the things that was, to me, very interesting, because we've talked many times in this last year on many episodes about whitewashing.
Uh-huh.
In fact, we even talked it when we were speculating about Moana last episode. And we were so happy that, hey, the two leads in this movie are Polynesian.
Oh.
And what I learned since was that every voice performer, with the exception of the chicken, was a Polynesian actor.
Yeah.
Moana's dad was the actor who played Jango Fett.
Yep.
The one of the characters, Tamatoa, is Jemaine Clements, who is a Maori.
Yep.
If you've seen Flight of the Conchords or What We Do in the Shadows, he would be familiar to you.
Oh my, yes.
And because Flight of the Conchords, he's a singer, so he gets one of the best songs in the movie.
One of the worst earworms in the movie.
It really does stick with you. And then that, let's talk about the music.
So
the other big significance of this, we may have, by the way, if there sounds like a gap, there was a weird processing on my computer, so I'm hoping all the voice track is staying. With the songs, I mean, Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Oh, hell yes. Lin-Manuel's an amazing, the best way that I can sum it up, my wife knows far more about music than I do, is just that the lyrics were interesting. I mean, you think about your average Disney movie, and in many ways it's like Gallivant. You know, we were joking because oddly enough the guy who does the music for Gallivant did a lot of the earlier
Menken
modern Disney and they're happy and they're light and they're simple.
Mm-hmm.
And Lin-Manuel's stuff is anything but simple. The stylings and the rhyming structure and the rhythms that he uses are just complex, and they're chewy, and they're good. And he crams so many words into such a small period of space.
Well, and it's also interesting, when he took the gig to do Moana, it was actually before Hamilton, the musical, debuted.
Yep.
So, in other words, he was hired to do these songs before he became a household name.
Yep.
And, in fact, there are stories that he was working over Skype with people, and on camera, he was in his Hamilton costume. So that, you know, but yeah, you have, he won that Pulitzer for a reason.
Yes.
Here's an interesting thing people are putting about. Everyone's like, if he wins an Oscar for one of the songs or anything in Moana, that's, he's got an Emmy.
Yep.
He's got a Grammy.
Yep.
He's got a Tony. Everyone's like, he's going to get the EGOT, which is, you know, having all of them. And then somebody pointed out, yeah, well, there's 12 guys. He will be the 12th guy to do that if he does it.
Yeah.
However, if you throw in his Pulitzer Prize or the PGOT, if he wins the Oscar, he will be the third person in history.
Yeah. And the last one was?
A guy named Hammerstein.
Oh, him.
Yeah. So, yeah, rarefied company.
Yes.
But and you know what's great, the one song "Shiny," the Jemaine Clement song, he literally and purposefully wrote a David Bowie song.
Yep.
And oh, it is so like Ziggy Stardust era Bowie.
Yeah, it's amazing all the way around.
Usually when it's a Disney movie, one maybe two songs will stick with me. And generally, one or two songs will stick with anyone. I mean, Beauty and the Beast, you generally get the song Beauty and the Beast and Be Our Guest.
Yeah.
As the memorable ones. Little Mermaid, It's Under the Sea, and Part of Your World. Frozen, all I can remember from Frozen is Let It Be. Now, it could be that just drowned out.
Let It Go,
out.
Old Man.
Well, okay, do you want to build a snowman?
Yeah.
But with Moana, you have Moana's theme, How Far I'll Go.
Mm-hmm.
You have Maui's theme, You're Welcome. The song Shiny. And then for me, the other one that's really, really sticking with me is there is a song called We Know the Way.
Yeah.
Which is very much a song about the Polynesian culture.
Yep.
And specifically wayfinding.
Which I have to just toss in for a brief moment. We have a mutual friend of ours who is very well steeped in Polynesian culture and Hawaiian culture. And over the years, I've gleaned little bits and pieces of information from her about that, and specifically about the wayfinders. And the part that I find really amusing is that there are several jokes throughout the show about wayfinding and how they do it. But in true Disney sense, there is the Disneyfied version of that.
Yeah.
Because for the longest time, the reason why only men were allowed to be wayfinders is because it wasn't their hand they were sticking in the water to tell where the currents were changing.
Yeah.
And I will just let it be that there was a reason why that women weren't allowed to have that, because they didn't have those parts.
Yeah.
And they did a remarkable job of playing with that on multiple levels throughout the show.
That's true. So, yeah, no, just overall great movie. Now, you didn't go see Doctor Strange, did you?
Still have not seen Doctor Strange, still have not seen Fantastic Beasts.
Okay. I have not seen Fantastic Beasts. I did see Doctor Strange, and again, I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
It was one where I was like, okay, I'm going to acknowledge its problematic aspects, which we've talked about previously.
Yes.
So I'm not going to belabor them.
See also the whitewashing that we just brought up.
Yeah. Yeah. However, it was one of the... something I haven't done a lot in recent history. And that is, I went and saw Doctor Strange on an IMAX screen in 3D.
Oh my.
And I'm glad I did, because it is a visually stunning movie.
Yes.
So Doctor Strange in the comics was always the most psychedelic
right.
of them all. It dealt with other dimensions. It was Steve Ditko art. It was just really known for being out there. And they went out of their way in some cases to recreate Ditko pieces. Nice. In the movie. It is a trippy film that looked at Inception and went, ha, challenge accepted. So, I mean, as a plot, it's a comic book origin film. And it's the Doctor Strange origin. If you're like me and familiar with the origin, there's no surprises. Yeah. It follows the story pretty well. I mean, with added bits from other sources. But just from a fun bit of cinema, some nice gags. But largely, it's just for the visuals alone.
Oh, yeah.
It is a great film. So I really enjoyed it. And like I said, once you get past the problematic aspects, I had no problem.
I have a feeling there is the... I mean, I still call it a dollar theater, even though I think they finally moved it up to 4 or 5.
Sure, yeah.
But there's a dollar theater over by our house. And once it finally hits there, I will probably go over. Okay. But yeah, that's...
Now, the other movie, and it's interesting, we talked about this one also last episode before I saw it. So I'll just this one really quick.
Okay.
I did go see Mad Max Fury Road, the black and chrome edition.
Ah, yes.
Wow. As I suspected, because of the lush cinematography that Miller insisted upon,
mm-hmm.
the conversion to black and white was incredible.
Really?
And the interesting thing, so first off, I saw it at Cinerama.
Which... There is no such thing as a bad movie at Cinerama.
Yeah, Cinerama is Seattle's premier screen. First off, I was noticing there's dialogue I hadn't heard before. And I was like, did they remaster the sound system? But then my brother-in-law said, no, it's just that Cinerama also has the best sound system in Seattle.
True.
And so things that weren't coming through on the crappier sound systems. But the point is, and several friends agreed with me, I talked to several people later, there are details that I did not notice in the original colored version mm-hmm. that were more obvious. Now there's a in the sandstorm, take the color out, and there's details going on that you probably missed because it was so overwhelming.
Right.
The war boys falling after the tornado picks them up.
Yeah.
I don't feel like spoilers for Fury Road, I think, aren't an issue anymore.
Statute of limitations has expired.
But yeah, it was a new experience. It was a new feel for it. Now it's already come out on Blu-ray.
Of course.
The release in theaters was a promotion of doing the Blu-ray version.
Would that make it a gray ray?
Maybe. But yeah, no, it stood up well. So the other thing we wanted to talk about today, or at least I wanted to talk about, I'm going to shift from, unless you got anything else on movies.
Yay, Rogue One. I can hardly wait to see it.
Yeah. By next episode, we will have definitely seen Rogue One. I already have my tickets. We calculated I'll be walking out of the theater when you're walking into the theater.
Just about. You spoil it for me. I know where you live.
You do. You're considering you're sitting in my house right now. Yeah.
How about that?
For TV, real fast.
Ah, yes.
So a lot of
talking about The Flash. That's a bad pun.
Yeah, true. Well, so the first thing, they have, for the CW superhero shows, which is usually what we talk about when we talk about TV, they had recently their epic crossover. Now, this crossover, and it was called Invasion, and it was loosely based on a comic book crossover event in, this was probably a 90s event. Same thing.
20 years ago.
So about 20 years ago, yeah. And it was a well-done crossover. The story was great, but there was some oddities to it. So it included 4 shows. So it was Supergirl, Flash, Arrow, and Legends of Tomorrow in that order.
Okay.
Because that's the order they show on. So the first night, and my cat decided to, this is where he's making, it's weird. He hides and then decides to pop out. Yep. All right.
We've hit that moment.
He didn't want to talk about Supergirl. So on the Supergirl portion of it, the Supergirl portion was just a regular episode of Supergirl, which is set on a different reality Earth than the rest of the CW shows.
Oh, I did not realize that.
And so most of the episode was just following through on the current plot line in Supergirl, because it was also Supergirl's winter finale.
Ah.
So they were tying up those storylines, and it ended with the Flash showing up to recruit her for the crossover. So it was barely a crossover episode.
Yeah.
The Flash was the proper kickoff of the event, showing the inciting events and where they were going, and was full of action, and they brought the team together, and it was a pretty good installment.
Okay.
Then there was the Arrow segment, where several of the heroes had been kidnapped and placed in a virtual reality simulation of what Oliver's life would have been like had he not gotten trapped on the island. So a wonderful life-ish. And
I was going to say, so just in time for Christmas.
Yeah, and their explanation of why was there, but kind of weak.
Well.
But it was also, see, it was Arrow's 100th episode.
Huh.
So they were doing a celebration of the 100th episode, but also including it in the Invasion storyline. The thing is, it was barely about the Invasion. And so it was an installment. Arrow is currently the weakest of the CW shows, and it was the weakest of the segments for the crossover.
And it's been out for, what, 4 or 5 years?
This is 5 years. Usually shows hit their 100th episode in their 5th year.
Yeah, it's been a while. I mean, I remember when Steve Amell was a hot ticket at Emerald City a couple years ago, but it's been a couple years ago, so...
So, and then finally, Legends of Tomorrow, which completed the storyline and was, again, a great installment. So every other part of this was a fantastic installment. The other two were barely in it.
Hey, if it's worked so well for Star Trek over the years.
That's true. I mean, overall, I was really happy. It was the two segments that clicked, The Flash and Legends of Tomorrow, had everyone together and was doing great story. It's just, the only complaint is that with Legends of Tomorrow, it felt like they were moving pretty briskly, I think, because, we got to finish up the Invasion, because we didn't get to do a lot in Arrow.
Oh, by the way, who was it that I heard recently, they were using the expression, it's the special element of hand wavium.
That's a good one. We'll have to borrow that one sometime.
Yeah.
I will say this. There was a great gag. Brendan Roth is one of the stars of Legends of Tomorrow as the Atom. And he first came really to people's attention playing Superman in Superman Returns.
Okay.
So they have a moment where he's interacting with Supergirl, and she walks off and he turns to someone. You know, she reminds me a lot of my cousin.
Of course.
So, yeah.
That ranks right up there with the fact that I am hanging and eagerly anticipating the moment when in some future Marvel Cinematic Universe movie, you have Benedict Cumberbatch and Robert Downey Jr. on the screen at the same time, and someone says to them, "Here's your one for the episode," someone says to them, "No shit, Sherlock."
Yeah, yeah. Well, here's the thing. You know, Martin Freeman is part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe right now.
Yes,
because he played a character in Captain America: Civil War.
He was an administrator.
He was something, but he that means he could conceivably show up and deliver the line.
Oh, I'd pay good money for that.
So, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah. Other than that, on TV, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., not here, it's on the bubble this year, but it's been on the bubble several years.
On the bubble.
Meaning there's questions on whether or not it'll get renewed.
Oh, okay.
But it's always been on the bubble. I mean, since season one, it's been on the bubble, and it keeps getting renewed. It's the show that will not die. And it's having a great year, story-wise.
Well, wasn't there also rumbles about there being a spinoff of just the Inhumans?
That's one of the things they're talking about, doing Inhuman. That has to get into, in a lot of ways, the other Civil War at Marvel between Kevin Feige and Ike Perlmutter.
Good luck with that.
Where Kevin was able to get Perlmutter's sway over the Marvel Cinematic Universe release. Basically, Perlmutter no longer supervises Feige for the movies.
Good.
He reports directly to the head of Disney Studios instead. But Perlmutter still oversees TV.
Ah.
And the Inhumans was what Perlmutter wanted. So when Feige didn't have to do the Inhumans as a movie anymore, that's when you start seeing them on TV more.
Sorry, there are several things, but I could say, but we've already used the one swear for the episode.
There you go.
Yeah.
So, that's what. Now the thing, and I gotta catch up. Everyone, I have not watched Westworld yet.
Nope, that makes two of us.
Everyone I talk to says it's a fine bit of television. So, fortunately, I have HBO, and HBO usually you can just binge their series of, or you know, I'll wait till it comes on some service. But yeah, I'll probably just watch it sometime here in the near future when I have a free weekend, if that ever happens again.
You know, it could.
It could. I could get sick.
You could get sick, or you know, that whole pesky solstice related holiday could be over and done with. So
that's true.
get a moment to breathe.
So I do intend on watching it because the one thing I heard, one commentator, Nash Bazard, host of Radio Dead Air, said on his show that when he saw it, he gets the impression that they weren't sure they were going to get another season. So they really wrap up a lot in this first season. And he's not sure where they're going to go with the second season, which I remember watching the first season of American Horror Story thinking, wow, they're really, really moving the story along. How are they going to stretch this out? And because when they first put out American Horror Story, they had not realized it's revealed its anthology nature.
Ah.
And I don't think Westworld is going to go anthology from what I've heard. But that anyway, so I look forward to seeing it.
Yeah. No, I've been hearing lots of good things about it. Truth to tell, it's not demanding my attention the way that other things is. But then again, you know what? I am under 100th in line for season 6 of Game of Thrones on DVD. So, with luck, sometime between now and the end of the year, I'll get to finally get caught up with that.
Oh, more power to you.
And find out all the things that have already been spoiled for me, but thanks to everyone on the internet. But now I get to put them in the proper chronological order.
Sure. And with that, I think the only thing I want to talk, so I know we don't talk a lot about video games.
Okay.
But I am finally, so sometimes when it comes to video games, I don't get to a game when it's hot. I get to it later. And this is definitely one of those cases. The game I am currently playing is Witcher 3.
Okay.
Which is an interesting game. And part of the reason I decided to get around to playing it is all of my other gamer friends were like, this is one of the best games ever. You got to play it. And, you know, these were people I trust. So it's interesting, though, because I've never played any of the Witcher series before.
Okay.
I do know it's set on a set of novels. I want to say Scandinavian or Finnish in nature. No, its original name in its native tongue is Hexer.
Okay.
But no, it's an interesting game, certainly an interesting world. We'll see what happens when I get around to finishing it.
Hey.
I kind of gave up on No Man's Sky.
As has 99% of everyone that I've heard from. Yeah. So.
It was fun. I don't regret playing it. I enjoyed it. But it definitely didn't have the staying power that you would have hoped.
For something that was supposed to be as vast and lofty as what it claimed to be,
there needed to be more. It was, again, it was that, you know, wide as the ocean, but an inch deep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thinking of games, I've been hearing lots about Overwatch. Have you heard one way or the other?
I haven't heard one way or another. I know a lot of people. It certainly is the hot ticket.
Okay.
But no one I know is playing it.
Okay.
So now, given most of the people I know are diehard Destiny players, I'm not going to do that to myself.
Thinking of games, and to maybe tie back in, one of the other things that I saw before Moana, that really has me excited for next year, the Lego Batman movie.
Okay, that trailer was amazing.
I have to say that they owned that one, and it, I mean, obviously it's the right target market for it. But as awesome as the original Lego movie was, to think that they are basically just going to take it and run with it and say, I'm Batman, for 90 minutes, I will...
It's the Lego franchise. I mean, the video games, you're a fan, I'm a fan.
Oh, yeah.
My wife's a fan. I'm sure your wife's a fan.
She's the one that got me hooked on them, and they're one of the few games that I play on a regular basis.
And it has a very consistent feel and sense of humor and charm.
Yep.
And the fact that watching the Lego Batman trailer and that you see him building something in the midst of the story is like, so the entire Lego sense, how Lego went from these little toys I played with as a kid,
oh yeah,
you know, 4 decades ago, to this sweeping franchise that isn't just the Legos, but is ancillary materials, and the fact that it is some of the smartest writing.
I was going to say, until you got to the smartest writing, you could say the same thing about Star Wars, but... Yeah, no, it is amazing to see how something that started off as a toy based on the imagination has captured the imagination.
Yeah. So I don't own Lego's Dimensions, but I've played it at a friend's house.
Okay.
And, I mean, the only reason I haven't got it is the way my gaming setup is, I would need a little table and a chair closer to the TV because the board you put the figurines on is actually one of the controllers.
Oh,
and okay. You have to move figurines around that board to successfully play the game, which is good design, in my opinion. Although it's also that whole, oh, you want to play? Well, you have to buy this figure to do this thing, and it's got its micro,
of course,
payment scheme well thought out. So now, since we last talked, I had finished Imprudence. You had talked about your books. I have bought a new book.
Okay.
I've got High Stakes, the latest Wild Cards novel.
Right.
I have not had a moment to actually sit down and read it.
Nope.
But I have it.
Yeah. The last one that I finished in the genre was the Everything Box, Richard Cadry, that we talked about.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, you know, reading a couple nonfiction books, but nothing that comes anywhere near the categories that we cover in this podcast. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, so we will see where we get next time. But
yep.
Now, on the subject of podcasts,
yes,
we got a little stalled out on Family Skeletons. Just everyone got busy.
Yeah,
that's all. Everyone got busy, and a lot of us have jobs that this time of year is crunch time, and that's the problem when you're an adult trying to do something. But we are planning on getting back in January.
Yeah.
But with that said, first off, I have found another new podcast that I listen to periodically.
Okay.
It is the Billy West podcast.
Billy West.
So Billy West is a voice actor.
Okay.
Billy West is best known as one of the primary voice actors for Futurama.
Okay.
He's Fry, he's Zoidberg, he's the professor.
He is literally the shut up and take my money guy.
He is the shut up and take my money guy.
Okay.
Billy West, a brilliant and experienced voice actor. So his podcast is him, and then he's got a guy with him, but the guy is sort of a partner for the host segments.
Okay.
But the rest of it is Billy and this guy. I think some of it's written, but I think a lot of it's riffed. But it's Billy playing multiple characters.
Okay.
Stretching his voice skill, but without a censor.
Oh.
Allowed to do whatever the hell he wants. And so they have a segment called Detroit Home Companion.
Oh no.
Featuring the adventures of Billy Bastard, amateur human being.
Okay.
And
I'm liking this, yeah.
And every episode includes an appearance by their producer, the littlest CEO, a foul-mouthed 10-year-old. And a motivational speaker, Jairaj from India.
Of course.
It's as creative as you'd expect. And I hear that episodes I haven't got to yet have other voice actors appearing to just add to the insanity.
Excellent.
So it's fun.
Billy West.
The Billy West podcast.
Okay.
So well worth checking out. Yep. And... you know, again, it's wanting to listen to other podcast ideas, but it's such a unique, it's not anything you could borrow from unless you're a talent like Billy West.
Yeah. And I apologize, I cut you off just as you were starting to talk on Wolf 359.
Wolf 359. So where we are right now at this recording on Wolf 359, this week, the penultimate episode of the season premiered. So next is and it's interesting how this... It's definitely one of those, you know, you bastards. How dare you do this to all my feelings?
Exactly. They're good at that.
They're really good at that. It's still really good writing and really good acting. But it is definitely, I credit they are great and talented people. And they have got my attention riveted. And oh, dear God, save Doug Eiffel.
Oh, please. It would be nice for a change. Help me back up for a second. Is this the end of their third season or their fourth?
They're counting it as their third season.
Okay.
But they take gaps in the middle of seasons to, I assume, catch up on recordings.
Yeah, maybe do the dishes occasionally.
Yeah, rest. Yeah. So, yeah. And you basically can right now tell their seasons by when they add characters so far.
True.
Because the first season was the original four characters. Second season added Captain Loveless. And
spoilers!
You know, at this point, third season, you just say you got the character. And then third season added three new characters.
Okay.
So anytime they add, it seems whenever they add a new character or characters to the show, that's, they're saying, oh, we're doing a new season now. So, yeah, it's, I'm fascinated where it's going to go, and it's still going strong. Huh? No sign of stopping. This is the one, though, I'm waiting, because it keeps growing. It keeps growing as with its audience. It keeps growing as a phenomenon. And I'm just waiting to see, okay, where are these guys going? Because these are very talented people who I'm hoping, because of the exposure of Wolf 359, which is one of the top podcasts out there.
With good reason.
That they're getting attention and that we're going to see them get the recognition they deserve. But also I want to see, okay, what happens when these guys get a budget?
You know, I would love to see even an animated show.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, the idea of continuing with the voices, but not necessarily having them all to be screen actors.
Yeah. Well, because that way, then you Valenti couldn't play Hilbert anymore.
Well, he could, but it just... It'd be really weird. It would ramp up your special effects budget,
it
too.
It really would. So, yeah. So that's what we've got going on podcast-wise right now.
Yep.
And
as far as the family skeletons are concerned, you know, yes, we all had a sudden attack of 2016.
Mm-hmm.
I think we can all empathize with having a sudden attack of 2016. And if nothing else, congratulations. You've got 10 months until next Halloween. You're just like Jack Skellington.
That's true.
Only 300 and however many days until Halloween.
We're going to get there. By hook or by crook.
Hell yes.
The other thing, just podcast-wise, in a couple weeks, I am going to be joining the Don't Read the Latin crew again for the year-end. We always do the year-end reviews together, so we'll be doing that. Almost, you know, next episodes are 50. I don't know what we're going to do exactly yet, but we might see if we can get a group together.
That would be awesome. I wouldn't say no. I enjoy the folks over at Don't Read the Latin. And, you know, we can all get together and squee over Rogue One.
That's true. That's true. And commiserate about what this year has done to us.
Don't get me started.
So, if we try and do problem is if we try to do an in memoriam, it would be the whole episode.
Just about.
It's been a rough year for our icons. So, yeah, I think with that, even though this is a little shorter than normal... we've really pretty much exhausted our subjects for this week.
I will say one thing as far as the people that we have lost this year.
All right.
It can be summed up in the following ways, that mm-hmm. these are the people that we've looked to. These are the people that have, as nerds and as geeks,
mm-hmm.
these are people not only who have inspired us, but have shown us that it's okay to dream and it's okay to be weird and it's okay to be different. And it's our job to do that now.
Yeah.
We get to be the weird ones. We get to be the ones that are out there. A while back, I was back at home and I was playing around with my cousin's kids. And they were tearing around and I said, best be careful. It's all fun and games until somebody loses an eye. And then it becomes a new game, Find the Eye. And they all stopped and they looked at each other like, did he just say that? And I'm like, yes, I did. So we're the weird uncles now. We're the crazy aunties now. So it's our job. We have to rise to the challenge. And we have some great role models to look for, to look at and remember and respect. And we get to be weird now too.
Yes. So. Not that we weren't before.
Weirder.
True. So with that, if you'd like to get in touch with us here at Fanboy News Network, you can go to our website, coincidentally, fanboynewsnetwork.com.
How about that?
And leave us a note in the comment section. Until then, Daniel and I will be back theoretically in 2 weeks.
Theoretically.
But whatever will happen, we'll be back with our 50th episode.
Dum, dum, dum.
Take care, everyone.
Have a good one.
This program is produced by Jeff Harris and Fanboy News Network and is copyright 2016 to Jeff Harris and Fanboy News Network. All rights are reserved, including rights to copy and redistribute this program. All music in this podcast comes from the Footage Firm and is used under a royalty-free license.